anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Roger that.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and my Threads to Rock pin board on Pinterest is between badass women of Star Wars and geektastic sci-fi costumes, and I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I've won a pod race or two, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome to the podcast, people.
Hi, everyone. I feel like I need to be quiet, even though I'm three rooms away from the baby.
I know, I get ya. We're on Skype today because the multi-million-dollar studio is off limits due to the fact that we're busy.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like I sound very Delilah tonight. Easy listening, songs of the 70s.
Good times.
Now for some Elton John. Nighty night, Bart.
Good night.
And then we ruin it by laughing because I have a super cackle for a laugh. So we're avoiding the topic.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I posted about the episode that I like that we did when we had Aaron, not to be confused with your son, Aaron, our friend Aaron that worked with us for one summer a few years ago.
Aaron with an E.
Aaron with an E. And she watched Star Wars for us. If you haven't ever listened to that episode, it is archived on the Anomaly website, and it is in the show notes for our Anomaly Women or Women of Star Wars that we just posted about it recently. Anyway, I listened to it today just because I hadn't in a while, even though it was 7 years ago. Like, we stop ourselves.
I don't, it's only taken us how many years?
I just think it's funny that it's been 7 years and we're finally talking about episode one. Like, we've avoided it for that long.
But
the reason we're doing this is to lead up to episode 7. We want to make sure we get all of the rest of them in the bank. So we're starting right now. And we're actually recording this on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, Jen.
And with you always. Angela.
What?
This movie I watched the day before I came down with the flu. It made me sick. Literally made me ill.
The Phantom Menace made you sick?
It did. I blame it. It's all George's fault. He gets blamed for everything. Why not blame him for that too?
Do you want to start with talking about the things we liked about the movie? Or do
yes.
we need to talk about what the movie's about? Or do we need, or does everybody?
Everybody should know by now.
Okay, so we're going to just assume. And obviously, spoilers for episode one, blah, blah.
Blah, blah. I've been telling people we would be fair. So let's.
I think we should start with the things that we liked.
Yeah, let's be good.
Well, I thought that. Let me think. I can do this.
Come
I
on,
thought
Angela.
That the lightsaber battles were awesome, and I thought that Darth Maul was a really cool bad guy. He looks amazing. His choreography is amazing, and I think the guy that plays him, he does
Ray
his own
Park.
Stunts. Ray Park.
Yeah.
He's a martial artist, so like he does his own stunts and everything. That is one thing that I liked. What is another thing you liked, Jen?
Two things. I mean, first of all, Darth Maul is like one of the freaking scariest bad
guys,
coolest looking. But at the time, I was like, holy mackerel, this guy's like a demon. But that's what he needed to be in a very effective bad guy.
Right, and it sets up the whole idea of the Sith kind of in the rest of the lore.
Scary,
like
mysterious.
That is what that's a Sith.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what a Sith. Without the music, this movie would have been intolerably horrible.
Yeah.
It made it seem more Star Wars. Also, the choreography for the fight scenes. That really took it up a notch because what we were used to was Luke Skywalker swinging his lightsaber like a baseball bat and Obi-Wan and Darth Vader doing their fencing, which by comparison looks like two old men whacking broomsticks together. It's just more exciting. Those scenes are so exciting. And costumes, of course. We can't forget the costumes.
I really like the costumes. I think they were consistent with the Star Wars universe. And I think that in a way, because, I think some people not necessarily complain, but you could make the case that it's like, well, it's an older time, so why does it look shinier than episodes 4, 5, and 6. Well, in episodes 1, 2, and 3, the Empire hadn't taken over and like destroyed everything. It was a nicer time, I think. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I look at it. Even
more
though
prosperous,
right? It's
maybe
more prosperous
for some people,
for more Tatooine. Some people. Then everything kind of got run into the ground when the Empire took over. That's kind of how I look at it.
I like Naboo. What
I like
a beautiful
Naboo.
Planet. If it existed, yeah. I would want to live there.
I liked Ewan McGregor as young Obi-Wan. I mean, it is so hard to be Alec Guinness. You know, I would not want to do that. I think that for what he was given, I think that he has one of the best performances
in
the whole movie. And I'd like to defend Jake Lloyd. I think he gets a lot of hate. And I have to say that, you know, despite how I felt about this movie, how I feel kind of about this movie now, and we've talked about that, of course, and we're going to continue to talk about it even more in a few minutes. One of my favorite things was I actually got that poster. I'm not sure where it is, but
I got
that poster where Jake Lloyd is walking with his head down, and then it's the shadow of Darth Vader on that wall.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was the movie we were promised. I know that sounds ridiculous because it's just an image, but that was cool. That was a cool idea. And I wish that this movie would have made me feel the way that that poster made me feel, you know?
Mm-hmm. I had that poster too. It excited me. Just to think that that little boy could turn into Darth Vader was unbelievable. No way. That's horrible, you know? And you're right. That little kid, bless his heart. It's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
The directing. I blame George Lucas because even really top-notch stars were wooden, and every line they delivered was robotic. And I know that was part of the mystery of the queen and how she talked, but it became like something they just continued on with. Everybody continued talking like, I don't know. There was really something that bugged me a lot was just the delivery of the lines.
We haven't finished the things that we like.
Sorry.
I also went right off
onto the things I hated.
I like some of the ships, the ship designs I thought were very cool. So like set design and that kind of thing. And I liked Qui-Gon as a character.
Yes.
Again, I feel like there was things he wasn't necessarily given. Like he, of course, he had to die and everything because it was part of the story, or I don't know. I feel like he was good. It's Liam Neeson. I mean, he did good. Oh, and it was kind of cool to see, like, the building of C-3PO. C-3PO and R2-D2 meet for the first time. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool.
R2 and Anakin's first flight together.
And the pod race was fun to watch. That's one of Russell's favorite parts. Okay. All right. So do you want to start us off with the things we weren't as big fans of?
Wow. Well,
you go.
I was going to propose that we do the entire commentary on this episode in Gungan accents, but
God.
Let's start with the accents.
Of the Gungans?
Of everyone. You know, I am an aspiring voice actress, and I know that sometimes it's difficult to come up with a character, so you pattern them after a specific person or an accent or a country or whatever, and you build on that. But I think that they were directed like, okay, this group of people are like the Japanese during World War II, so they're going to have Asian accents. This group of people are oppressed, so they're going to have Caribbean-style accents. These people over here, Watto in his Italian accent, and it kind of takes you out of the universe, too, after a while, because it's so recognizable and annoying after a while. That was one of the biggest things that...
Well, I think you're right. It kind of got into these weird tropes. I mean, there have been people who have accused the Star Wars universe, and I think sometimes, rightfully so, of being like kind of closet racist.
Yeah.
Very thinly veiled racism, which is another, you know, it's another call that I don't really necessarily want to have, or another show.
I just want to make the point before
I agree.
That it's true. I mean, that's what it seems like, but I think that's the case because these characters were made into cartoonish, slapstick comedy type characters.
It's been interesting, too, and you've been watching Rebels, and I've watched some of Clone Wars. It almost works better in that medium, these type of characters, you know? And I don't know enough about it, but I feel like it was writing towards that end instead of writing towards the end that we like. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the relationship beginning between Anakin and I think he had all these disparate ideas that he wanted, and they didn't necessarily fit together. You know what I mean? So it's like, here's this idea of this little boy, this little innocent little boy who is a slave and he grows up to be Darth Vader, right? And mm-hmm. So that's like one idea. And then the other idea is, here's Obi-Wan and you want to learn about Obi-Wan and his kind of origin with his master, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so like that's a whole nother idea. And then you have to have Padme. She has to be the queen of this civilization, right? So she can't be so young that it makes no sense that she can't be a politician, but she can't be so old that she's too old to hook up with the little boy eventually, you know? So like that is weird too, because she's 14,
yeah,
right? And he's 9, which when they're 19 and 24, not as big of a deal. And just because we knew going in who they are, it's like a square peg in a round hole. Like it was trying to fit into this future storyline and it didn't really make any sense. And then you had these things like the pod race that were just all of this time and energy was put into and it was very cool, but it's like, so the point is that he can fly. Okay. Just because of one line that Obi-Wan has in episode 4 that he was a great pilot. Okay. I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, what's, I mean, you're right. When they first meet, are you an angel?
Oh, I know. The writing. Oh, my God.
It's cute. My God. Yeah, like, it could have worked. I'm saying it could have worked if it was a little, I mean, it needed a little, the script seemed like maybe like a rough draft.
Yeah.
That needed to be polished.
It's like it's not thought through. Like it's, you're right. It's like it's elementary. Almost. Mm-hmm. It's almost like beginning screenwriting.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a first draft. It's like, this is what I want to communicate, but that's not how you say it. It's like if you were to say, I want to express this here, and then you're going to go fix it later, but he never went and fixed it.
Yeah.
And I think that it's because he was more excited about all of his new toys and his computers and his graphics. And we were not as excited about or cared too much about what it was going to sound like or how these actors were going to come across on screen.
You know, with the pod race, I know Russell likes it. It is my least favorite part of the whole movie, and it lasts way too long.
Yeah.
And the commentators drive me nuts. The two racing guys. It's too Bugs Bunny. And
well, that's why six-year-olds like it.
I know. I mean, it's perfect for Aaron, except they throw in Darth Maul, who looks like a devil who's going to chop your head off, you know?
That's true. But he does have an awesome double-bladed freaking lightsaber.
We forgot to mention
in the things we love. I mean, yeah, a double-bladed lightsaber, that was pretty cool.
Yes. But before we get further, we have to get them out of the way. The top two things, Jar Jar Binks, midichlorians.
Oh my gosh.
Jar Jar is like poop jokes and farting and mooey mooey love you. I mean,
oh my
Qui-Gon
gosh.
Even hates him. Obi-Wan treats him like crap as soon as they meet him. I mean, he says, "You almost got us killed. Are you brainless? I speak. The ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Now get out of here." I mean, from the beginning, the main characters are setting us up to hate him. Okay, this character right here, you're going to dislike him throughout the whole movie because we do. And it's almost kind of out of character for Jedi to treat other people that way.
I know.
But it's almost like an aside. Like, they know that you don't like him and they're going to just keep sticking him in scenes to poke at you, you know?
That's the thing about Jar Jar is that, like,
no,
it's not like a revelation. That
not everybody agrees with this. There are people that listen to this show who were
kids
when this movie came out,
right,
who are adults now.
That's totally different.
So their perspective.
Some of us are bigger fans of the Ewoks than others.
Yes, that's true, too.
I like the Ewoks, but I'm not like, oh, I love the Ewoks.
No, that's true.
I'm like somewhere in the middle. Like, I kind of, I could go one way or the other. I was little, so I thought they were cute. But in the context of Star Wars, I don't know how I feel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Jar Jar thing is just, I mean, ugh. What was he doing to us?
I think he just wanted this comedy relief. Star Wars has comedy relief, but not to that extreme. He took it too far.
Yeah, and I do like the idea of the Gungans coming to help.
Yes.
The Naboo. I mean, I think that that's a good part of the story. You know, the fact that we're all in this together. If we're part of the world, what affects one of us is going to affect the other. I did like that part, and that's the way that, you know, because they found Jar Jar is how they found the Gungan, you know, so I get that, whatever.
Well, there's like a very Wizard of Oz moment with the Gungan city, too. Like when they come there for the first time.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I like that parallel. And it's also beautiful. I like the set, even though it's CGI and it's kind of fakeish now.
Well, but it's still a set because it was designed, you know, I mean, it's still part of the designs.
I can appreciate it, I guess.
Yeah. But
the grouper fish attack on the ship. And then the Godzilla fish attacks it, and there's always a bigger fish. That line, that's one thing. But then to do it again with another fish that attacks another, it's like, okay, this is a joke that's getting old. There's a lot of that.
It didn't bother me that they used some of the stuff from the first movies, like, I have a bad feeling about this, and that kind of stuff. That didn't bother me, because that's just kind of part of Star Wars or whatever. And whenever they'd introduce somebody that you knew from the other, that was kind of neat. At the same time, I think you can go a little far with that stuff. And some of the puns and the humor just wasn't to my liking. I mean, maybe it wasn't written for me.
I didn't really notice until I watched it the other night. Did you know there's a woman pilot in the scene with all the Naboo pilots?
I did not know that.
I didn't notice until I watched it again. I was paying specific attention to those things. But, you know, it's just something that you shouldn't have to notice, you know, because they should just naturally be integrated into the movie. Did you notice that Padme's blaster matches her ship? It's like her purse. It goes with her outfit.
I do like it how does. Padme, it's, I do like how the Padme stuff was written for the first movie. I admit, for the first movie. Let me reiterate. For the first movie. I like how the Padme stuff was written because it's like this young girl, you know, you're trying to set up that this is Leia's mom, obviously, and that she's a strong leader as well, and that it's not a weird thing that she's a strong leader. Everybody follows her. She knows what she's doing. She takes command, and she also gets in there. Like, her bodyguards are there, and then she goes to put herself in the mix. You know, it's a little two-dimensional, but I do like how she is the diplomat. You know, she wants to talk things out. She wants a diplomatic solution. And that's something that does carry on through all three movies, for better or for worse. But I do like how she was set up. I was optimistic about her character as a strong woman based on this movie. So that's something.
I liked how she purposefully had the handmaiden take her place, or her bodyguard, or whoever she was.
Right, right.
And she was the one that went into Tatooine and insisted that she go to experience it. I like that. It hints, like you were saying, at her character, you know, the type of person that she is. She's not this monarch who's afraid to get dirty.
Right.
She'll go out there and help look for whatever items they need to fix their ship and get dirty in the process. What do you think about her costuming as the queen?
I think Sith Jen would disagree with me because I think she really likes it. I am back and forth on it. I feel like some of it is too stylized. I like her handmaiden stuff better. I like her everyday stuff better than I like. And like when she was walking around with the pistol and everything, the blaster. I like her costumes better in the other two movies than I like in this, as far as her queen outfits, like her formal gear. It's cool. It just wasn't to my liking.
I think that needs to be so different. You know, this is a different culture, but it's almost like strikingly different from the rest of the people on Naboo.
Right, right,
It's like out of place almost. And maybe that's on purpose. I mean, she is the queen and...
Well, and the makeup also allows her to be able to switch places with her handmaiden. So then maybe that was a tactical decision.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's it's a protocol they enact in emergency situations.
So that could be part of it, that it's so stylized, because then anybody in that garb is the queen.
Speaking of protocol, there were a lot of protocol droids in this movie. I don't know if I ever noticed another one in the old, you know, the original trilogy. Was there another C-3PO at all in the other films?
Oh, yeah, because remember he runs into that one on Cloud City?
Oh, does it look just like him, or is it, there it's were like always silver. Slightly different, though.
Yeah.
These looked exactly like him, only they were silver. And they had different voices, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of protocol droids running around. Oh, when we were talking about accents, Captain, what's his name? Nita? Is his name Nita? No, Nita's from the original trilogy.
Yes.
The Naboo captain that is kind of her protector that goes with her to Tatooine. He says, the Hutts are gangsters. Almost like a nod to Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah. That's cool.
I don't know if that was on purpose, but they didn't say gangsters, they gangsters.
That's gangsters. Funny.
There are things to like about it. That we got to see for the first time the relationship between a Jedi and their Padawan. Yep. Padawan was a term that we'd never heard before, and we got to know a little bit more about the way the Jedi Council worked and Yoda. We got to see Yoda. And he was different. He seemed a little more stern and critical. He was kind of mean to the boy. Instead of putting that criticism on Qui-Gon and his attempt to bring this child into the Jedi Temple, I mean, he kind of put that on the boy. Like, you're very scared. And he's cold. And he's never been away from his planet or his mother.
Well, but if you think about it, especially since we've played the games, the Jedi Order is kind of interesting because some of the stuff is counterintuitive because it's so rigid, really. The conduct and the rules, and it's almost like a monastery. It's almost, or like on the other, it's almost, you could even compare it to Wheel of Time or the other way around, because we talked about that when we did have the Wheel of Time discussion about how it was kind of like Jedi, all the Aes Sedai were kind of like Jedi. And it is very similar, really, is that you take this oath and you're just completely committed to the cause, you know? And also there's no, you realize that there's really, they don't have like an oversight. They have the Jedi Council, but nobody watches them. You know, no one watches the Watchers, I guess.
they're in charge of themselves. They're the governing body of themselves. The Jedi are kind of the peacekeepers. They're just asked to look into things. They investigate things or whatever. They're not intended to be what they end up being.
Right.
And maybe part of the reason they fell.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And I think that's why they were able to convince, well, we're getting into other parts of the trilogy. But I think, yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. Oh, we forgot about Mace Windu.
Yes.
We like Mace Windu.
We do. Some people don't like him, though.
Oh, why not?
That he's the most boring Jedi there is. That's a criticism that I've heard of Mace Windu. And not the portrayal that Samuel L. Jackson does, because I think he plays the part very well.
Yes.
But it's the character himself. Throughout the prequels.
Well, I think, boring, though, that you can say that almost every character.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the only reason we find the other characters more interesting is either because we already have some kind of connection to them because of the other movie, or because they got more screen time. I think with the amount of screen time he didn't have, and the fact that he wasn't really connected to anything we already knew, that makes he's just as boring as everybody else. It just makes him seem more boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You get more FaceTime from people you don't want to see, like Jar Jar, than people that you want to know more about, like Darth Maul. You're like, oh, he's gone already.
Yeah. Okay, so what about midichlorians? For reals?
It takes, and this is a common argument, and I'm not making any great point here because it's been said, but it takes the mystery of the Force. Yeah, the mystery of the Force is now gone. You're explaining it with science, and it's some sort of symbiotic relationship between two beings.
And I hate that. I hate it. And again, like, here's this this idea. It's a disparate idea that didn't connect with his other ideas. Because all he wanted to do was set up that there was something super special about Anakin, right? That's all he was trying to do. And instead, he like completely messed up the entire philosophical basis of the entire world just to make a point about Anakin is really special. That's all he did. That's all it was. He didn't realize the ramifications of that. I really don't think he did.
Yeah. And he didn't have to explain why he was really special.
No.
Because...
Yeah, haven't you read Harry Potter? Just prophecy. Prophecy.
Go with it. People disagree about prophecy. Some people believe in prophecy. Some people don't. That would have been great.
I think that would have been fine. And then also, like, I would even go so far as you can look at the virgin birth. You know, like, because that was also hinted at.
Yes.
And, like, I'm not going to put it as far as the religious aspect of it. Obviously there is one, but I'm just saying like that makes somebody special. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, my point is you didn't have to do the midichlorians to say that he was special. You had all these other ways to do that, but instead it's a freaking blood test to see if you're going to, I mean, even that was one thing that I said I never did. It was like, can you move things with your mind or maybe catch fire on accident when you're trying to catch fire or when you're pissed off? Yes. You're an Aes Sedai. Come with us before you kill yourself or others.
Exactly.
I mean, and I understand, you know, training them from when they're young.
Yeah.
And also that makes it more interesting when you get to Luke, you know, because it's like, well, yeah, he's probably, let's say Luke is maybe 19 at the oldest, mm-hmm. right? And I know that Mark Hamill was older than that, but like they're saying that his friends left, but you don't get the impression they left that long ago, maybe 1 or 2 years. Mm-hmm. So he's maybe 19, maybe 20. And that's still technically young, but it's not, you know, but it's very weird for a Jedi to start training at that age. So for them to make a big deal out of what, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, then you really know, okay, well, there's no hope for this guy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and this is no mystery either, but the reason why is so that they can not be confused by their feelings for their family or the people they're leaving behind, because when they're right. children, they can forget those things. But yeah. he's too old to forget his mother, and that's like the whole problem with, supposedly, he has mommy issues.
Yeah,
and then Luke and Leia have daddy issues. It's all about psychology of, you know, what's wrong with, you know.
But that's even worse in a way, is you take a child away from their family when yeah. they're that young, and then you bring them up in this society. I mean, it's kind of funny in a way. Like if you really examine it, it's a little creepy, but, you know, we're not really here to criticize the Jedi because we love them.
No, we do. We totally do. And another thing I love about this movie is you get to see what a Jedi looks like. And they're all like different shapes and colors. And yeah, and their costuming, you know, what they wore.
Even females.
So diverse. Yeah, and you saw women Jedi, and some of them had they didn't say anything, but they were still there. And you're like, badass!
Yes.
And you make a pen board about them, and you go on. I sometimes watch just to see how many different types of Jedi. I mean, just to see their costumes and stuff. You know, especially when we were planning our group cosplay as Jedi bounty hunters and Sith, and we were trying to decide what colors we were going to wear and what kind of fabric or whatever. I wanted to go research and watch those movies again, and I would pause it on, watch them walking and see how their robes flowed and all of that stuff. That yeah. kind of stuff I love about this movie. It's so well done.
Mm-hmm. It's and well designed.
I enjoy those kinds of details, and it's all in there. So I can forgive a lot of really crappy stuff.
Just, and at the end of the day, Jen, it's still Star Wars. That's really the thing, is that mm-hmm. there is part of us that wants to like it. I don't know about you. Part of me wants to like it whenever Russell watches it. I want to, and it makes me sad in a way that I don't like it as much as I want to. And I felt that way when I first watched
yeah.
the movie. I was just so excited. And then it was like, as much excitement as I had that same amount of disappointment. And this is not that important. We think it is important, obviously, because we love this kind of stuff.
When I rewatch it, I sometimes hope that it'll be different for me. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I still have a cough, and so my voice is kind of going. But every time I watch it, I hope something will be different that I will enjoy. Like, maybe this time it'll be, even though I know it's not, it's the same movie, it's the same actors, it's the same writing. Everything's the same, Jen.
Yeah.
But I keep looking for the things, and maybe that's why I pick up on more details now, the more times I watch it. Like, I actually finally saw E.T. Did you ever see that?
I've seen E.T.
He's in the movie during, when they're in the Senate and there's shouting, vote now, vote now. That's the scene that they're in, and they're right in the background across from the aliens that are pumping their fists, and they're pumping their fists too, going, vote now. And it's three E.T.s.
I did not know.
And it's
know
an
that.
Homage. Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's cool. But now, what does that mean? They're canon. I never noticed them before, but I guess it's because I want to love the movies. I go back and I watch it and I see little things like that. And it makes me, I guess, not hate them. And that's the thing. I don't want people to think we hate these movies, because we don't hate them, but they are flawed. Original trilogy has flaws too. I'll admit that. It's not perfect, but there were a lot more redeeming things about it. There was much more to love about it.
You know, even though there was silliness in it and an action adventure, you know, sweeping fantasy kind of way, there was still some, it felt more mature, even though it was older.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we actually talked about this, and I cut it out of one of our video podcasts, about the idea of the tactile special effects, like the real special effects as opposed to the CGI. And sometimes I think there's something to be said for having those practical effects as much as you possibly can in a movie. I think it gives it more depth, no matter how good the CGI is. And it is, it's great, you know. I just think when you take time to do those set pieces and those props and those, you know, all that stuff, that there's something, or creating those environments in real life, I think there's something to be said for that, that gives so much to the movie. And this movie just really felt like it was shot on a green screen. The actors were just kind of placed there.
Yeah. And there are little details too, because of that, that they miss or they gloss over that kind of bother you while you're watching it, but you kind of let it go, but it's still there nagging you. Just
yeah.
Like, that doesn't look right. I don't want people to think that we just did this so we can bash it.
No.
It's a conversation that's been waiting to be had for 8 years. We have held on to this for so long, and you're really lucky we didn't do this conversation 8 years ago. Or 7 years ago, because we would have been much more bitter.
We really would have.
There's
been
a lot of distance between then and now.
I agree. I think we've had some time to sort of chill. Get ourselves. Yeah, we've had time to chill out, and also having our sons, you know, come into Star Wars, enjoying these movies. So we see that it is possible, and maybe they'll have the same reaction, you know, when they're older. That they'll have nostalgia for these movies. And I'm just hoping that, and we're going to say this at the end of every podcast we do that's Star Wars related, but I just hope that we get a step forward with Episode 7. That's what I really hope for, is that step in the right direction and just get so excited. And I'm very nervous about spoilers. I feel like I can't even look at Facebook. Because I don't want any spoilers.
I don't want any. They're even giving a lot of away in like the new Vanity Fair magazine that came out.
Did you get it?
No, it doesn't come out yet. That's why they didn't have it at Hastings. I found out on Twitter when I was complaining. They were
Weren't
like, well,
are fashion people supposed to know that? I think we should tell them.
Yes.
Shouldn't they have known that? they should have known.
They just seemed very confused as to why Star Wars was in Vanity Fair, which makes sense.
I don't know that they were confused, because, like, I think especially the younger ones kind of get that it's like a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's that confusing necessarily, but I think they get it. I think they get it.
Oh, the whole slavery thing in this movie. I know that they existed in the original trilogy. We have Ulla, the...
Well, Jabba the Hutt, like, everybody yes, for him is like, slave.
Yes, well, definitely the Twi'leks are slaves. But right, you get a sense that on Tatooine, that it's something that anyone can fall into, which they basically say.
Right.
But it's so sad to me every time I watch it. It's not badly done. It's just painful for me to watch when Anakin has to leave his mom and she's not being freed too. Why couldn't Qui-Gon?
I always wondered that too.
Just say, look, it's both or none. You know
why? Is because
they needed her to be left behind. But
this is the thing that's messed up about the Jedi Order, though, is that that's the thing. They needed him to be away from his mother. He felt like if he would have been able, if he got her out of slavery too, then he would have been able to be with her, and Anakin would have chosen to be with her.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's kind of depressing.
It is. It bugs me. But also, this is being released on Mother's Day. We need to talk about Smee. Smee? Is it Smee or is it Smee? Smee was in Captain
that's
Hook.
That's from Captain Hook. Okay, but here. I'm going to look it up on Wikipedia.
What do you think about her as a... I feel bad for me because I think she did a good job in letting her go.
I kind of like her energy, honestly. I think she has like a cool vibe. I mean, if you're going to raise Anakin, you kind of have to be a go with the flow kind of chick.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked her and I liked the actress. She just didn't get a lot of screen time. So you just don't know. And you didn't really. And that's the thing is that I think they should have written more for those actors so that you got the impression that it's like, okay, it's a mother and son and he's sad to be away from her. Well, I get that, but I think they should have written a little bit more reaction interaction between the two of them. So we really felt that pull. So we really felt like, oh my gosh, this is a hard decision and she really wants what's best for him. I mean, you know all that, but I wish they would have shown it more instead of implied it. It's a writing issue. It's a writing issue. But I mean, I get it intellectually, but I didn't feel it. So that's so much of this movie is just that, is that I wanted to feel more and it didn't let me. It made me like think too much, put me in my head too much. Whereas the other movies are able to kind of pull you in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so ephemeral. It's hard to really explain, but that's the best I can do.
Well, the politics do that too. You're trying like, okay, now what's going on with the Trade Federation and their embargo, you know, their blockade and...
Yeah.
And if you're going to try to draw kids in with cartoon characters, the politics being mixed in is kind of over their head and boring. That's when Aaron checks out, when those types of scenes are occurring and everyone's arguing in the Senate and... You're right, it's Shmi.
Yeah, Shmi. S-H-M-I.
And the actress is a Swedish actress. I just looked it up. A longtime collaborator with director Ingrid Bergman. Ingmar Bergman, not Ingrid.
You know what? He was in my thesis.
Oh, really?
Ingmar Bergman, yes.
That's ironic. It sounds like she was like a really awesome actress who only got like a little bit of face time in a major movie.
Yeah, but if she was working with Ingmar Bergman, she was doing okay.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's like a renowned director. He did stage and screen. Pretty neat.
But I think her sacrifice for Anakin was really touching. You know, wanting him to have a better life and knowing that that's the only person that loves her in the whole world and he's leaving.
Yeah.
That's sad to me. And now, of course, she falls in love with Owen's dad later on. But that was a weird relationship right there. But anyway.
Well, he freed her.
You would almost feel, we shouldn't talk about it yet. We're not talking about Clone Wars until another month or so, but
yep,
I'll stop. But what else can you say about it?
There's
some things you can like, and there's some things that you can hate. Most of it is meh. But we're the type of people, best. We like to look at both sides of the, you know, coin here. We have some redeeming qualities that we like, and we choose to think of when we sure. think of the prequels. We don't yeah. harp on Jar Jar as much as other people do either, do we?
No, we don't harp on Jar Jar, and also we give poor Jake Lloyd the benefit of yes. the doubt.
And he's a cute kid.
He is. Kind of looks like my kid.
Yes. Mine too.
Russell had that little bowl cut, and yeah. he was in that Obi-Wan outfit. He kind of looked like mm-hmm. Anakin. Amidala is on our short list for a girl name.
I know.
Instead, we named her Lorelai, and we just watched that episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so wow. That's yep. pretty funny.
She so was one mean lady.
It's like a little bitty baby, basically, with a killer name. My little brother likes kittens, even though he's not a kitten person at all, and he always named his kittens like Butch and Killer. And they're like these teeny little kittens. And that's kind of how I think of Lorelai. She has like
has a killer name.
She has a killer name, but she's a tiny little baby. So cute. Cute little girl. All right. Well, my new mommy like brain is starting to kick in, so I think we probably need to wrap it up.
Yeah, definitely. I'm tired and my throat hurts, but
oh.
So we just want to thank you all for sticking around and listening to us harp on a movie that is not our favorite.
But that's okay, because all of you kind of feel similarly, and so it's fun to listen to other people agree with you. Yeah. I know I like to listen to people agree with me.
Yes. Closing thought. I don't think that we need to be, and you and I are not, but some people are absolutely bitter about it. They blame a lot of different people for the fact that this movie's not the greatest. And I feel really bad for, like, Jake Lloyd, like we were saying. And a lot of anger has been thrown at George Lucas. So if you want to hear about that kind of stuff, you can listen to our episode.
We have another episode about that.
Yes. What was it called? The People versus George Lucas. It was about that documentary. Yes. So yeah, go check that out. We just did an Ultra Sabers episode where we interviewed some people who run a company where they create the lightsabers that we carry with us till Comic-Con, the ones that are super bright and look fantastic in photographs. And comment. You can do that in our show notes. At anomalypodcast.com. You can also join our Facebook group. You'll find all those links and stuff at anomalypodcast.com. You can also call us and leave a voicemail, which no one does. I don't know why we even bring it up every episode, but you could do that. It's a Google voicemail account, and no one's going to pick up and say hello. You could just dial 432-363-4742 and tell us what your thoughts are about The Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace. Do you agree with us? Do you think we were too soft on it? Do you think we're too hard? Don't be afraid to tell us. We want to hear from you. This is a conversation between the two of us, but we like to have a greater conversation with the audience that we can't see right now, but we know is out there. So talk to us. Tell us what you think. What are we doing next week? Not next week, because it's like an alternating schedule.
What are we doing next time?
Yeah, next time.
I don't know. What are we doing next time?
Well, should we just get it out of the way and do Clone Wars or just mix
well,
it up?
I think we
do
should something space else. It out. I think we should space it out.
I know. We're doing too much Star Wars right now. People are going to start thinking we're a Star Wars podcast.
Well, for a long time, everybody thought we were a Star Trek podcast.
Yes, that's true. Maybe we should do a Worst of Trek.
We should do a Worst of Trek, or we can talk, now that you and I have watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and maybe we can talk about that. Well, you know what we should do is find a way to see Ultron.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult for me.
It's very difficult for me. But we need to do it because I think a lot of people are going to see it. And so, I don't know. We can talk about whatever we want. It's our show.
We'll let you know. Check out our website and join our social media groups and you'll find out
something
what's coming
down the pike. If you have something you'd like us to talk about, we won't necessarily do it, but you can try and ask. My name is Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Yay. May the fourth be with you.
May the fourth be with you.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com.
That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y.
Podcast.com. Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.
Which one was that?
Dark Horse.
That was spot on.
Were we rolling?
Did we record that?
Yeah.
All right. That's done.
Yes, it actually happened.
25 more to go.